Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride with your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. My name is Joe Marquez. I'm an educator out of the Central Valley of California and currently the Director of Academic Innovation for Q. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Good day, everybody. I am Kyle Anderson. I am no longer a special education teacher. I am in a new role for the fall of the 2022-2023 school year. My new title is Special Education Instructional Facilitator, and I am in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you can find me on Twitter at Anderson EdTech. Same thing with Instagram. I have a blog at AndersonEdTech.net, and then I also have a book titled To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. That can be found on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and also through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing.
All right, Kyle, you got a lot of irons in the fire. I love it. Absolutely. It's always great to hear what you're doing, and congratulations on your new position. I hear a lot of educators right now getting new positions, whether it's in their district or, leaving education, not education, but leaving their district and moving to different things. So there's a lot of moving and shaking going on. And I want to say congratulations to all of you who are done with your school year, right? I mean, these last couple years have been trying and getting back into the groove. This year has had its ons and offs. So congratulations. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today is towards the end of the school year, even before the pandemic, can be a little bit odd, right? Because state testing usually happens for, depending your school site and depending what state you're in, state testing that I have noticed, it's usually at the end of April, maybe beginning of May. And, you know, when I have asked, when I was in the classroom to my administrators, why are you doing state testing so early? Because state testing kind of seems like a culmination of learning, and students kind of think the same thing. So why do it when you still have 4 weeks left in the school year? And the response to me has always been, well, we have to have enough time to be able to have the students who are absent or skipped a test or this or that, they have to have enough time to get those students into a room for that testing before the end of the school year. They say it's like a buffer time. But depending on how you run your class, it can kind of be an odd time because students are kind of like, well, what else is there to learn? We just took a state test. And teachers are like, we're kind of done with our material because we had to teach it all to get you ready for the state test. So you have this buffer time between the end of the state testing and then the actual end date of the school year. And so I see a lot of amazing educators do some amazing kind of extra activities, some enrichment activities, phenomenal activities. But then I've seen some teachers where it's just like, hey, you know, just keep coming to class and, you know, bring your cards, you know, your play some. I mean, I've seen that. And I've also heard from TOSAs like, hey, do you have any recommendations on how to kind of light a fire under some of my staff's bottom to get them to try new things and get them to really take advantage of these last few weeks of maybe experimenting with things that they wouldn't normally experiment with during the school year proper. But these last 3 weeks, since your grades are pretty much already done, hey, why don't you test with video or test with some 3D printing or test with some STEM stuff? You know, what is your take on this, Kyle?
Well, I guess it kind of goes with just the way my classroom and working with my co-teacher really kind of worked over this past year. So let me preface that with just kind of how the end of the year worked out for us. So you mentioned state testing. I mean, we don't necessarily have state testing in the class I worked with, but we did have MAP testing throughout the year. So, you know, you have your MAP testing in the fall, you have your MAP testing in the winter, and then you have a spring MAP testing. And in each time MAP testing comes around, there's like a 3 week window, I believe it is, where basically do your MAP testing at any point during that window. So that's when you can do it. So there's a little bit of freedom for for educators to get that taken care of when they want to. So for the spring MAP testing for us this year, we had a window that, if I recall correctly, it was like the last couple of days of April up until like the beginning of the third week of May. And we got done super early. Our last day with students was on May 25th. So, and with that, that was a Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that week was reserved for final exams. And then even the Friday prior was final exams as well, because my school is on a 4x4 block. So you had to have that fourth day for final exams as well. So really we had up until that first day of finals really to get the MAP testing done. So my co-teacher and I, we decided let's just save the MAP testing to the very end. We'll do that in the very end of that window of time that we have. So that way we can make sure that we cover everything that we need to cover for class. I don't think necessarily there was anything that was going to be from what we had to cover that necessarily be covered in the MAP test or anything, because MAP testing is, again, it's a little bit different than state testing, where it's not necessarily these standards or whatever. It's more of a growth kind of thing to see how students are doing throughout the school year or whatever. So we reserved our MAP testing for the very end. In the meantime, we did have a couple of units of study that we had to cover still. So with the last one we did, instead of just a standard assessment, it was a project that we had the students do. And what it ended up being was the concepts that we were covering. It was, we had the students like do this food truck where they had to create a food truck or something like that with the concepts that we were covering. So we were having a little bit of fun with the math instead of just your standard, here's a handful of questions, answer them kind of deal, whatever. So, and not that our tests were that really anyway. We didn't, I mean, there's a small multiple choice part of our exams or whatever, but most of it was not that. So we were trying to have a little bit more fun towards the end of the year with our final assessment. And then again, MAP testing. So now between MAP testing getting finished up and then final exams, we also had time to have a little bit more fun as well. So we're not doing anything new at this point. So, but they also have a final exam that they have to prepare for. So now, could we have stood there and said, okay, this is what you need to know, and then stood and covered all this different stuff? We could have did that, but that's boring. That's terrible. So we tried to have a little bit more fun with it. So great. We had all sorts of stuff that we posted in Canvas where, here's a document with the topics that you'll need to know for the final exam. Here's some example questions with it and whatnot. But there was a lot more of the fun stuff though, too. We were playing quizzes quite a bit. We were doing Blook It, which is another one of those quiz type games or whatever. And the kids really dug that one. So we didn't get to do that one a lot this year. And if I was going to be working with my co-teacher again next year, we'd be using that one right from the start a little bit more. So I hope that she continues to use that. So since I won't be with her in my new position now next year. So, but for the review, it was more of like trying to be fun with it. So now you kind of mentioned a little bit like students that already have an A or whatever, or their grade's fine, whatever. Like, well, how do you motivate them to keep coming to school or whatever? So we kind of built this culture right from the beginning of the year where students that are quote unquote high flyers, they kind of became our assistants, like almost teaching assistants, where we had a handful of kids in every class where we really relied on them to help us out with students that were struggling more. Because even though there was two of us in the classroom, there might be, 15 kids that are struggling, and we can't sit one-on-one with 15 kids, because then it's not one-on-one anymore. Now it's like almost not even small group, it's large group at that point. So the way we kind of broke things down was we had these students that they got it. Like, I mean, you throw something new in front of them and they got it and they're good. Like, we could have given them some sort of assessment and they would have aced it and been good to go. But we had these students help out those that were struggling. So we did a lot of station work over the course of the year. So where you would have a certain concept in this group, another concept in another group, and you would rotate the stations every few minutes. And then we called them the tutors, where these students that were the quote unquote high flyers that knew what was going on and could help others, they would be the table leads. So, which meant they didn't have to do the actual work. So they were, because they were helping out the other kids. So group of three, four, maybe five kids would be at each table, and they would be working on the concepts. And if a kid had a issue or had a question, they would ask their student tutor first. And then the rule was, if the student tutor didn't know how to do it, the tutor could ask us, and then we could help them out. So we really kind of put the ownership on the kids with that. So when it came time for the end of the school year, now it's review time. Again, those students, like, how are we motivating them? Nothing really changed. Now it's we're reviewing for the final. They already know what's going to be on the final. They already know what they need to do. But again, there's a lot of kids that are still struggling. So we relied on those student tutors a lot still at that point. So, and that's something that, again, if I was going to be with my co-teacher next year, 100% we'd be doing that. It was something that we really enjoyed doing. It was something that we had a lot of success with. And it really built up the confidence of a lot of those students as well. I mean, I'm thinking of one of our tutors, quote unquote, in particular, that at the beginning of the year had no confidence whatsoever in themselves. And then even when they were proving that they knew the stuff, they knew what was going on, even then they had absolutely no confidence. But then all of a sudden, as we were able to show them, hey, you know this stuff and you are able to help other people, kind of burst that kid out of their shell and became one of our best kids. Not that if they didn't come out of their shell, that they wouldn't have been one of the best kids at all, but like all of a sudden, like now I'm looking, this student might down the road, maybe look into becoming an educator, because we have an academy in my school, a CTE academy it's called Teach. So where students take like these education classes to eventually become teachers if they want. This student's already talking about enrolling in that Teach Academy for the remainder of their high school years, because they're like, you know, I think I kind of like this. So, and we can chalk that up to the fact that we used that student as a tutor this year. So, I'm saying that was a really long kind of convoluted way to get to where we were going there, but that's kind of like the way we worked in our classroom.
Well, no, I like that, you know, your end of the year is a continuation of what you've already embedded into the school year, right? And so that is just basically, you know, just rolling with it. You know, but that's not traditionally what I've encountered, where it's teachers are moving so fast to get through material so that all the material will be taught before the state test. Right. So they're moving super fast. They're going through. So you are having some students who are struggling. Right. But then they get to the state test. They take the state test. And now the test is over. Right. So in California, it is an actual state test. Now, it is dependent upon grade level. Right. Like seventh grade doesn't test, but eighth grade does test. So, you know, it is dependent upon grade level. But you really try and get everything in that you know the state test is going to cover, and those kind of how your units are planned out for that grade level. And then, boom, you're given that test, and you have still 3 weeks left. And so what I used to do in my department was we would then have an engineering challenge of building a solar car. When it first started, it was sponsored by PG&E, and they bought the solar panels and the little motors, and there were these little kits that they came with, and the students can design their kits and put it together in different ways. And the only rule was you had to use the motor as the only motor, and you had to use the solar panel as the only power, right? Because kids would buy batteries and attach it to the car. Like, nope, it has to be solar powered. And, you know, that's what they would do the last 3 weeks. They would plan a design, they would implement the design, they would test the design. And then the last week we'd have our solar car races. We turned the tennis courts into a racetrack. And the key part wasn't making the car go, it was making it go straight. You could imagine we'd have some cars that would just veer off and never cross the finish line because the axles were just completely off. So we really had fun doing that. But here's the thing. There was no grade to it. There was no grade to it. Grades are already done. Now, there might have been some extra credit, right? Like, you know, the carrot on the stick was if you come in first place, you get like 20 points extra credit. If you make the finals or, you know, a semifinals, you get this much extra credit, that kind of stuff. There was some of that. But if if the car didn't run or didn't run good, it's not like you lost points. This was an extra extension activity. And so I would always have, you know, questions. Is this going to affect my grade? No. But you can always raise your grade. Is this going to affect my grade? No. And so you'd have some kids really into it. And then some kids just like, you know, I want to put it together to, you know, show you that I'm doing something, but it's not going to affect my grade. So I'm going to hang out with my friends while I build this car. And if it doesn't go anywhere, it doesn't go anywhere. Right. And I could imagine my science department is doing this. I don't know what the other classes are doing. I don't know what the English classes are doing. The history classes are doing. I have no idea. Right. So in my mind, I am trying to make these last few weeks of school beneficial to the students. But is the campus as a whole? I have no idea because I'm only working with my department.
Right.
Now in junior high, you know, I see that happening a lot. But now you get into the high school. Okay, now you have sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Now I'm asking you this question, Kyle. No matter how great the culture of your school is, once a senior gets their diploma, walks across that stage, and there's still a week left of school, are they going to come to school on Monday or are they graduated? Right? It doesn't matter how great the culture is. They're graduated. They're done. There is no expectation for them to finish out the last week of school. Right? Am I correct in that statement?
Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah, there's definitely that checkout for sure. So now one way I know, at least at my school and a lot of schools I've worked at in the past, is that students, seniors, would be given a checkout card with various things they had to take care of that to get signed off on. And a lot of those things would not be signed off on until a certain point. So even though a student may know, I've done all of this stuff, I don't have to worry about it, they still had to physically show up to get their card signed. Because if they didn't get their card signed, they can't go to graduation and get their diploma. It's like they didn't meet the graduation requirements almost. So like, I know some of the things that are on there, like, you know, checking out with the school banker for one, like if you have any fines or anything that you need to take care of before you check out. Have you turned in anything you've taken from the library? Have you turned in your Chromebook? Things of that nature. Well, then even the grades, even though like grades for those seniors, they know they've passed all the classes, they have all the credits they need. Grades are not finalized until after the school year is done. So if school gets out on Wednesday, grades are usually due on Thursday. Now, granted, for seniors, this year especially, our graduation was on Thursday. Last day was on Wednesday. So, and it was Thursday at noon. So we had to have senior grades done, I believe, by Tuesday afternoon. That way they had Wednesday to look and see, hey, this student right here, they didn't make it. So then we have to notify them that, hey, you didn't make it. You can't go to graduation. And if you want to graduate, you're going to have to go to summer school to take care of it now. So again, for us, that was kind of the deal with the grades and whatnot. Now, but also speaking of high school, you have AP classes in high school where those tests are usually about a month before the end of the school year. And at the school that I'm at, we have one of the strongest AP programs in the state of Nevada, where I forget how many of the graduating seniors. We graduated 630 seniors. I believe close to 500 of them had at least one AP class in high school. And some of them had like six per year, which to me is absolutely mind-boggling. So, because if you think about our standard college course load, like when you go to college yourself, you're talking like three, maybe four classes a semester. And these kids were taking six college level classes as high schoolers, which that like mind-boggling to me. Like, I don't know where these kids had the time and like where they got their motivation to do all of it. Cause that's just insane to me. And I was a really good student in high school, which if I would have had, we only had a handful of AP classes and I didn't take any AP classes in high school. So those tests are usually the month before school gets out. So what do you do with those kids for then a month at that point? So now I can't speak for every AP teacher, but I taught AP for several years. I taught AP government for a few years, but the main one I taught was AP US History. So what we did for that last month. And this was something I told the kids about from day one, first day of school. Okay, this is going to be one of the toughest classes you ever take. There's going to be a lot of reading. There's going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of that. But when you're done with the AP test, we're going to have a lot of fun. And that's when I used to do this massive project for the end of the year. And if we go back to one of our earliest episodes, like single digits, like episode 8 or something maybe, I think I may have talked about this a little bit, where we did this project called, I called it Dinner for the Ages, where basically what the students had to do, they had to write a script that had historical figures from different periods of history. Like there was, I had it broken down into like, I believe 6 to 8 different periods of history. And they had to have at least one person from each period that were an attendee to this dinner party. And when all these people came together at this dinner party, the whole concept was taking a modern day problem and then infusing the perspectives of these historical figures into a conversation on how to solve this modern day problem. Now, did they come out with a solution? Not always, but sometimes they did, using the perspectives of everybody. So it was something that was a lot of fun. The kids, when it came time for the presentation, that I had this like dinner table with like cloth napkins and a tablecloth, and like, so it looked like an actual dinner table. And some of the kids would just show up like wearing like a shirt and tie for the guys, you know, or a skirt and a blouse or something for the girls. But some of them, they would get into it and they would dress up as their historical figure. So, you know, you have a kid come in dressed up as George Washington or something like that. Or, you know, a girl would come in dressed up as Harriet Tubman or something. It was so much fun, so much fun. And the kids really got into it. And it was something that I don't ever remember in all the years I did it, ever having like a kid like that just kind of blew it off and never like wanted to do it, you know, and like where the group had to carry their weight on it. And I believe over all those years too, I think I only had maybe 3 kids ever that were absent on presentation day where somebody else would have to fill in. So, and even when that did happen, it wasn't that bad because they had a script and I didn't make them memorize the script or anything. That's ridiculous. So like if there was a kid that was absent, then somebody just be like, hey, I'll fill in for them, you know, and they could read the script or whatever. But it was critical thinking skills. It was presentation skills. It was communication skills. There were so many different things that came together. And then on top of that, it was the content that we've been covering throughout the year, like taking these people, their perspectives from their historical perspective, and then applying it to a modern day problem. So there were so many different skills that, you know, sometimes people call them 21st century skills, but we hate that because it's 2022. We're 22 years into the 21st century. So that was a lot of fun to kind of wrap up the school year. So now we had a lot more time to work on that because, again, it was an AP class. We had an extra month after the AP test. So not every class is going to have time to do something that elaborate. But can educators do something that is fun, that is relevant, that is content rich, that is critical thinking rich, to do at the end of a school year to still keep kids engaged and make them still come to school? Absolutely. Again, it doesn't have to be that elaborate, but I believe that rather than just the standard, here's a packet here for your final exam, I don't necessarily think that has to be the case. I think you can do something that's a lot more engaging.
No, and I'm with you 100%. I think the last couple of weeks of school, again, is experiment time for the teachers. I think, you know, if you've ever wanted to dip into green screening, that is your time to dip into it. If you've ever wanted to get into podcasting, right, have your kids create a podcast. I have no qualms and no doubts that there are so many amazing educators who find things to do those last couple of weeks, no doubt, and make them fun and exciting. But I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit here, Kyle. What if your school ended on, let's say, June 1st? Kids are done, grades are due, they're done. But your school says, you know what? Your contract actually says you have to be here on campus until June 15th. You're done. But you have to be, we'll make it fun for you. You have to come to campus, you have to be in your room. We may have some meetings, but we're going to make them fun. We're going to do a staff scavenger hunt. We're going to have you draw. We're going to have you create like a staff newsreel. I'm asking you, after that long year, and you've done everything, you've checked everything off, you're still being told you have to come to campus, but it's going to be fun. Are you going to truly come to campus with that same I'm going to change the world attitude? Or like, man, I'm just going through the motions now. I mean, they're trying, but I mean, is there going to be any change here? I mean, like, I'm still going to get paid the same amount. I just have to show up. I mean, I want to ask you, would you have a big grin on your face and be super, super pumped those last 2 weeks knowing that? Or would you be like, the kids are done. They're gone. I mean, come on. Right? What is your perspective? Because I'm trying to play devil's advocate. What's your perspective on that? Right? Even if your admin said, we're going to make it super fun for you. We promise.
I have a super big grin on my face right now because of how ridiculous that sounds. So, but I get it. Like, you know, if you put that in the perspective of the kids, yeah, absolutely. It's like, why would you show up? So I don't know if I really have an answer to counter that though, because I've never thought of it that way. I've never put myself in those shoes. So yeah, I get a little irritated that the day after we're done with students that I have to go back because I've got everything done. My room is clean. It's checked out. And I'm one of those teachers too, that like, I don't wait until the last day or two before to get all that stuff done. Like, well, I mentioned checkout cards for seniors. Staff get checkout cards too, where you got stuff you've got to get taken care of before you can leave for the school year. I mean, that includes grades being done. If you're a club advisor, making sure everything's square with the banker, turning in any equipment or technology that you checked out. If you got room repairs, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm that person that in the 2 weeks, we usually get those like 2 weeks ahead of time. I have that thing pretty much done within the first couple of days to where I don't have to worry about it. When I had my own classroom, anything that needed to be boxed up was boxed up like at absolute worst the week before we got done. So you could have walked into my room a week before school got out and you could have checked my room out because I am not waiting till the last minute on that. And the teachers that are spending that day after without students doing that stuff, like that just, I bristle just thinking about that. I'm like, what are you doing with your life at this point? Like, and I get it. People get busy or whatever, or, you know, some people are just natural procrastinators too. I am not that natural procrastinator. So yeah. So having that day after with students, without students, excuse me, I get irritated having to go in for that. Now for me this year, it worked out to where our graduation was that same day. And the deal was from my principal that if you were at graduation, you don't have to come in on that day. We will check you out the day before, and then you just go straight to graduation, work graduation, be done. So I'm like, oh, I was going to graduation anyway. Sold. Let's do this. So, well, some things end up happening this year to where they were not checking people out on certain things on that Wednesday. So I still end up having to go in for about an hour on that day. And it was one of those deals where like I totally understood. I didn't have to go out of my way. You know, it's not like I, you know, had to drive across town for 30 minutes of something stupid or whatever, and then go about my day or whatever. So it wasn't anything like that. But at the same time, the whole principle of the matter was like, you told me I didn't have to come in and now I have to come in. This is ridiculous. So, but I mean, come on, first world problems. It's not a huge deal. So, but kind of circling back though, I get it though. If a kid already has everything done, it's kind of like, why do I have to be here? Even though it is going to be fun.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to take away, and I was really worried about this topic and this take on it, because I know there are educators out there who do amazing extension activities the last couple of weeks. And I don't want anybody to listen to this and think that I'm saying that they're doing it for naught, right? Like, I know there's some educators who do cardboard boat races, phenomenal, you know, solar car races. They let kids go and make movies. There's a lot of great things. But when you put it into perspective of if you were asked to do that as an adult, you're done with everything, you're completely done, but you're just told you have to come because there's a date on the calendar that says you have to come until this date, it starts to actually, again, like you said, oh, I never thought of it that way. It's the perspective, right? Because I want you to remember college. What is the last day in a college class? It's the final. They don't make you take the final 2 weeks ahead of time and then say you still have to come to class. It's the final. There's a reason it's called the final. As an adult, a final means you're done, right? And so what I'm thinking about is how can we treat students like adults in that fashion if they have all, like that little card you're talking about, if they have all those things on that card checked off, they have an A in every class. They are a responsible student. They've shown up every day. They have done everything you've asked of them, and there's 2 weeks left of school. Is there something we can do for those students who maybe they just want to be done, right? Is there a reward, kind of like you said with your school, if you do graduation, you don't have to go to this last day. What if there was a reward? If you have straight A's in all your classes, then you get 2 extra weeks of summer vacation. Could you imagine that? How many more students would start getting straight A's? I'm not saying that's the number one driving force, but imagine what teachers do to wear jeans on a Friday. I've seen administrators say, if you do this, this, and this, we'll give you a jean coupon. You can wear jeans on Friday.
Or you can is ridiculous if you ask me. Exactly. I'm not a worse educator because I wear jeans, but exactly. That's something that we could save that for another episode one day. But yeah,
this is what I'm talking about. It's like we have these arbitrary and I know the answer for the majority of schools, funding. We need students in attendance for funding. I get the monetary value of it, but what we have seen through the pandemic is we can still give extension activities and take role digitally. Is there a way that we can take some of the distance learning that we've learned over the course of these last 2 years and at least adapt it to the last couple of weeks of school? And those students who come to school every day, or at least have really good attendance, the students who have straight A's, doing very well, they have everything turned in, there's nothing they can possibly do to raise their grade, their grades are locked in. Isn't there something we can do for those students and give them a little bit of extra time? Everybody always says the greatest gift you can give somebody is time. If you can give a student 2 extra weeks of vacation, I mean, isn't that great? I mean, yes, now you have to talk with parents extra, you know, but still, I mean, it's a conversation worth having, right? And then the students who can't, students who still can raise their grade, students who are at risk of not, you know, students who still can progress, now you have smaller class sizes. Now you can hone in. Now you can have that intervention, right? Now you can do those things these last couple of weeks to get those students ready for their next grade level. I'm just thinking, are there things we can do like that?
Well, maybe, maybe not. But some students will take that upon themselves. And the proof that I have of that is 2 separate students that I had in my caseload this year. Over the last few weeks of the school year. So one of the students was already on just a part-time schedule anyway, because they had pretty much all the credits they needed. They had 2 free periods, one each day at the end of the day. So they were done with their school day around noon. So they left and did whatever it was they wanted to do. I believe this person had a job, so they went to work early, whatever. So now, one of the classes that they needed to graduate was a virtual class, kind of work at your pace kind of deal, where it was first thing in the morning and showed up, did their work. They were able to work on it outside of school, at home if they wanted to as well. This student finished up that requirement back in like March. So now they've already got the 2 free periods at the end of the day. Now they've essentially got a free period at the beginning of the day too. So there's this block of time from about 9:30 till noon is the only time that they really have class now at this point. And even then, the only class they really truly needed was they had an English class and they had a social studies class that they had to finish up required for graduation. They were both on the same day, so kind of blocked up next to each other. So now this student was showing up maybe once a week to those 2 classes because really, I mean, their grade was in good shape. They had a B, A, whatever, their grade was in decent shape. So they weren't coming to school much. And I was having a hard time finding this student to just make sure everything was set, ready to go. And then to hold their exit IEP at the end of the year where, listen, you're graduating and you are no longer going to receive special education services. It's like a 2-minute meeting. That's all it takes, but still you got to have it because so the student can graduate. So I was having a hard time finding this student towards the end of the year. But again, it was something that I wasn't worried about them because they had everything taken care of. So they kind of took it upon themselves to do exactly what the hypothetical you were saying is where they were giving themselves extra vacation pretty much. So now this person pretty motivated. So I believe they were probably picking up a few extra hours at work or doing some other stuff, you know, whatever it may be. Now, other end of the spectrum though, I had another student, same kind of deal, wasn't coming to school for like the last couple of months, was very rarely at school, was having a hard time finding this student. The issue with this student was same deal. They had the free periods at the end of the day. And then they had 2 PE classes, one on each day, because again, they had pretty much all their credits taken care of. They needed, again, the English and the social studies credit to graduate. But this person did not have the grade up to snuff and they weren't coming to school. So here we are, like 3 weeks before school gets out, I can't find this person, can't get a hold of the parent. So my last ditch was finally, I'm in the student information system. There's a phone number next to the student's name. I'm like, maybe this is their phone number. I fired a text out to it. I get a response back. It was the student. And I go, listen, you need to get to school because right now you are in danger of not graduating because you're not coming. So I end up getting this student to school. Well, then they're not doing the work when they are coming now. So like they're failing the class. They're not doing the stuff. And like the teachers are telling me like, yeah, they're here now, but they're not doing the work. And they're just basically spending time messing around and not taking care of what they need to take care of. So it got to a point where I was sending this student a text every morning. Are you at school? And if I didn't get an answer, then I was going out looking for them. And even if they did answer, I was going out looking for them, finding them in their class and being like, are you taking care of your stuff? And really just kind of hammering away on this student. So I was initially supposed to have their exit IEP about a week before school got out. I had to put it off because they weren't passing their classes. You can't hold an exit if they're not going to graduate. So the exit IEP ended up taking place on the last day of school with students. And even though at that point he was done, that seniors were done the day before, but it took until that last day, that Tuesday, for me to get the word that they had passed their classes so then I could hold the exit IEP. But so that's the other end of the spectrum where these two students kind of took it upon themselves, like you were saying, about giving themselves a little bit of extra vacation time. One student, it was okay because they took care of business. The other student needed a little bit more motivation to take care of business. So luckily they both got through. Well, and then it was funny, the one that was not taking care of business on graduation day, the students were supposed to be there for 11 o'clock, rolled in for graduation at 11:40 with the ceremony starting at noon. So I'm like, geez, couldn't you still struggling? Hey there. And they're like, oh, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at with, at least through the student perspective.
Well, I mean, you know, I really have a problem holding graduation over a student because you're not checking boxes. I mean, now boxes grade wise, that's different, right? But I want you to imagine, again, a student straight A's, they on paper they are graduating, but let's say they have 2 weeks left of school. They would rather make some money than go to school. They're done. Nothing they do is going to change their grades. They already have straight A's. But if they don't go to those schools, those days of school, then they get, you know, threatened with now you can't graduate. You missed too many days of school. To me, that doesn't make sense. There has to be a happy medium here. I just find arbitrary rules, no matter what age, are never good. Just arbitrary rules. And you know, for example, The school district that I went to as a student has the same rules today that they had when I graduated. And what that is, no celebrating, When you are graduating, no celebrating. If you throw your hat, we're not giving you your diploma. And I'm thinking to myself, but I earned that diploma. I'm not thinking about throwing my hat, but I earned that diploma. You can't deny 4 years of work because I did one thing that you did not think was appropriate, right? You can't do that. And, you know, I'll tell you, there was a group of students this year in that same school district that threw their hats. One student was around them, did not throw his hat, and he got yanked out of graduation. And afterwards, the school said, oh, we apologize for our mistake. Well, his whole family was there. He didn't get to walk across the stage. He didn't get to go and meet them after he got pulled off. And to me, arbitrary rules like that are just heinous to me. Yeah. Now, I know it's like, well, it's a precursor to a riot. We don't want everybody to throw their hats and da 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 da. And how are you going to know whose hats are which at that point? Like, look, they've already went through 4 years of rigorous, hopefully rigorous learning. You know, they're 18 years old, 17 years old. They're going to, if they throw their hat, they throw their hat. Come on. I mean, shoot, we live in a time where I'm not even going to go January 6th, but still, you know, but still we need to be celebrating our students' hard work throughout the year. Not be like, okay, these last 2 weeks, you may be done, but here are the rules we've now set forth. And again, I put it back to you as an educator. If you were told you have to come back for the next 2 weeks, just because this is a date that's on your contract, you may not be so enthralled about it.
True. The other end of that, and I'm playing devil's advocate myself, is that in regards to the hat throwing and some of the stuff like that, I'm 100% behind you on that. To me, that is ridiculous. Like you're gonna withhold a diploma because they tossed their cap. You know, okay. So, I mean, there's other stuff that could happen at graduation where maybe warranting of withholding or whatever. So, like, if all of a sudden a student, like, you know, opened up their gown and they were not wearing anything underneath, okay, different story. So, because you do hear stories about that happening places. But in regards to, like, say, a checkout card leading up to the last week, school, whatever, some people are going to say, well, yes, this is something that you need to take care of. And yes, we will hold your diploma or whatever. And yes, you may not like that or whatever, but it's something that you just take care of it. And then here in the next few days, then you'll be done. You don't have to worry about it. So are you willing to risk not getting your diploma over something so simple? I mean, I'm not taking a position on this one. I'm trying to be as straight and narrow down the middle of the road as possible on this one. I'm presenting the other side of your presentation on that. That's what some people are going to say is you may not like it, but just get through it. Just take care of what you got to take care of. And I will say that, like, with that student I had the struggles with, I kind of did that with that person. I said, I'm like, listen, I get it. You don't want to be here. You would rather be done. You're this close because you've been going to school now for 13 years. But what's one more week? Are you going to throw away 13 years over 1 week kind of deal? So I did kind of hold that over that student's head a little bit, but it wasn't over a checkout card. It was over failing the two classes they needed to graduate. So a little bit different on that one. I don't know if I necessarily would have brought the hammer down if it was over. You didn't come to school to have the banker sign your checkout card. So
No, I agree. I mean, again, if there's something you can do the last 2 weeks to raise your grades and raise your status and graduate, I think they need to go to school. But I just think as education evolves, I just think there's some archaic thoughts that could use some innovations. And I think that we have some students that are really savvy with what they do in their spare time. And I truly think that if we have students that have really shown just great work ethic and produce great products in all the classes throughout the year, I think we should celebrate them in some way. And I always think the gift of time is a great way to do that, right? Or, you know, maybe even do some things around the campus that are, you know, that they want to do or something. I don't know. But I think that's, you know, something that could be talked about. But I also think this is a great time for teachers to experiment, to find things that maybe they can then roll in to their traditional teaching throughout the year. Because when you were talking, you kept saying, I'm going to make the end of the year fun. I'm going to make sure they know that this end of the year is fun. And I love that. I think the last, you know, the leaving school, that last couple of weeks should be fun. But why hold it back to the last couple of weeks? If you could find some things that are fun that work, roll that fun throughout the year, right? Roll that fun throughout the year. I think that's, one of the best things teachers can do during that time is, again, ditch that fear and try new things. And maybe you have that crazy TOSA that's always coming at you like, hey, try this. Hey, try that. I don't have time. I got to get through this. I don't have time. Now invite that crazy TOSA in and see what you guys can come up with or you all can come up with. I think that's a great time for educators.
Yeah. Now we've said end of the year several times throughout this 45 minutes or so now. So, and it is the end. I've actually been off for 2 weeks already since on the day that we are recording this. So I'm in full on like relaxation mode right now. So where I am not checking school email, I have not been doing much of anything else. You and I were talking before we turned on this recording that I turned on my computer a few days ago to record my other podcast, and I turned on my computer to record this podcast. I have not been on my computer. I've kind of checked off of social media in the professional sense. I've been on there a little bit in a personal sense, but no, like I said, I am in full on relaxation mode, taking care of myself. I have been working out at least 2 hours a day, almost every day. Since break has started. So I've been doing a bike program on the Peloton once again. And then where I'm at, it is, even if I was to wake up at 5 a.m. and get out, we're talking, it's already 100 degrees super early in the morning. So I have not been outside walking, but I do have a treadmill with a TV set up to where I've been watching Stranger Things. And those episodes this season are a lot longer than previous seasons. So the treadmill, I'm getting a lot more steps in on the treadmill watching Stranger Things and then other things. And then I've been watching baseball while walking the treadmill too. So, I mean, you can get a good 3-4 innings in on a decent walk on the treadmill. So I am a couple weeks out from taking a cross-country road trip, which will be a little more expensive now than when I initially planned it about 6 months ago with gas prices, whatever. But it's all right. I do get to see my 98-year-old grandfather here pretty soon. So I have not seen him now in a couple of years. And he's in pretty good health and everything. But he is 98, so he may live another 10 years. I may get a phone call from my mother that he passed away or something like that. Either way, it's been a long life for him, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him here in a couple of weeks and, enjoying the next about 6-7 weeks of summer that I have left. But now, because you were no longer in the classroom, you still are working, but Joe, what is your summer kind of take care of yourself kind of plan looking like?
Well, I have worked out every day since March 17th of 2020. Well, one day I did not run because I had the flu, not COVID, but I had the flu. I still worked out when I had COVID, not in a gym. I worked out outside, but I am doing about 20,000 steps on average every single day, which equates to about 12 miles every day. And still walking, still running. I too run on the treadmill and I've been watching Stranger Things. I just finished the last episode, halfway mark of the season. I think it's really good. I like the ending of this last episode. Really great storytelling. I love it. I really want to upskill myself on some tools that teachers are using or tools that I want to train teachers to use. And I wanted to do it in something that I enjoy. And so I started a new podcast called the Very Vinyl Podcast, where I feature some vinyl that I own and play a couple songs off each vinyl. And the reason I'm doing that is because I wanted to learn how to use Canva a little bit better. With layering images and creating image scapes for broadcasts. So I've been using Canva for all my graphics. And then I wanted to do everything in real time. So instead of using StreamYard like we use on this, I used OBS to learn about transitioning of scenes and rotations of GIFs and all these things. So I'm learning a lot of cool skills that I know I can translate into the education arena. So just trying to better myself during this time. just because at this moment, there's not a lot of schools that are doing PD at the moment because it's summer, right? And there's no need to do that, but always trying to better myself. And I think that's key. It's social emotional learning is key, but part of that social emotional is always trying to better yourself along the way. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I do have some training coming up in mid-July, a few weeks before I do return for my new position. So the other person I'm going to be working with directly at my school that's in the position, I'm going to be the second of this position, the special education facilitator. And she told me ahead of time, she goes, the training's not going to be anything you don't already know, but it's something you just got to do it. So, and I am getting paid to do the training. So it's not like I'm rolling in the middle of July on a training where I'm just going to be bored learning about stuff I already know. I am going to get paid at least for it. So
that's good.
So like I said, right now, just a lot of just kind of taking care of myself and decompressing from the last couple of years of wildness and looking forward to the fall where hopefully things will be a little bit more calm than they have been in the last couple of years. And again, looking forward to my new position. So now that said, listeners at this point, I hope that you're kind of in the same boat, whether it's just taking care of yourself and not doing a whole heck of a lot right now, or like Joe, just learning about some new stuff. But either way, decompressing from what the last couple of years has been, because it has been an absolutely crazy ride this last couple of years. So taking advantage of the time that you have. And if you are listening and you're actually still in school, so hopefully you're wrapping up here pretty quick. I know growing up in Michigan, snow days really could tack on to that end of the year. So I remember 1 year growing up, I don't think we got until like June 17th. Because of all the snow days we had that 1 year. So I know that there may be some places where you may not quite be done yet. So
yes,
either way.
Shout out to Roland. Roland in Waterloo, Canada. I know you have 1 week, 1.5 weeks left. So we're talking to you. Getting on through it.
Absolutely. So Joe, I think that kind of wraps things up for what we're looking at for this time around.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And listeners, please let us know what you do the last couple of weeks of school. What is your enrichment activity? What do you do for your students to really make it fun and exciting towards the end? Or if you want to play the devil's advocate, what is your idea to those students who attended class every day, already have A's, there's nothing they can do to change their grade. They're basically coming because school tells them to. What is your idea to maybe give them a bonus in life for doing that? So I'd love to hear those ideas as well. But post those in the socials. You know, you can find us on the Twitters. You can find me and Kyle on the Twitters. You can message us. Do whatever you want to get us your ideas. But until then, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a member of the EdTech Army. And until next time, keep on innovating, keep on moving, and keep on changing the world. One day, one class, one student at a time. And thank you so much for being part of one of the best professions in the history of the world, and that profession is being an educator. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day.